Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the 2011 Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
So let's take that breath of gratitude together. Taking this beautiful breath of gratitude together, we lift our vibration up so that we can see clearly and hear clearly divine guidance and wisdom, so that we can know clearly and feel clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Taking this breath of gratitude, we lift our vibration up into the realm of pure peace. We're grateful and thankful to remember our true identity as the perfect givers and receivers of love, as the angels of love that we intend to be. Wisdom beings, what I know for each and every one of us is that we are fully available to divine insight, clarity, healing, expanding our awareness. We're grateful and thankful to join together for our own healing. The time is now. We're grateful to transcend time and space, to come together in a holy circle of love, divine love, healing us now. In grace and in gratitude, we share the benefits with everyone. All of our brothers and sisters are lifted. All boats rise on this holy tide of love. We're saying yes, more fully than ever before. And in gratitude, we joyfully, joyfully allow it to be. And so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. So I'm going to quote from Lesson 188 in the workbook, following up on Gary Renard's class. And the quote is, "The peace of God can never be contained. Who recognizes it within himself must give it. And the means for giving it are in his understanding." The peace of God can never be contained. It's in your heart. It extends around the world. Who recognizes it within himself must give it. So just by the mere act of recognizing it, we're sharing it because all minds are joined. The means for giving it are in his understanding. So within our understanding are the means to bring peace to the world, because the world is an illusion projected by our mind. The means for peace are within our own awareness, if we're interested. So therein lies the key. And this is the thing that Gary taught so beautifully about yesterday, and he knows. He knows. Because he's a pal of mine, and he has shared with me privately his challenges. I've shared with him, as friends do. Everyone has profound and deep challenges. And the way to experience true and lasting peace is really to be able to say, "Thank you for the challenges that allow me to open my heart and open my mind." So in each week of these classes, there's been very careful instruction building up so that you have a clearer and clearer awareness of how you can change your own life, how you can get into that place where the rubber meets the road in your own life. My experience has been of teaching and interacting with so many people and being a spiritual seeker myself for over 25 years is that the biggest challenge we have is not in understanding spiritual principle. It's in living in alignment with love. So what I find many, many spiritual students do is they invest much more time, money, and energy in learning information, much more energy and time and money in learning information, even studying the course without a thought to living it. And several of the teachers who have been longtime Course in Miracles students have pointed this out. So something that is so dear to my heart is to support people who can read the lesson 188, The Peace of God is Shining in Me Now, and still be angry and still attack people because they're not understanding the course. I mean, people attack me sometimes for not understanding the course. Same with Gary, same with David Hoffmeister, same with Paul Farini. It happens. And what that it means is just that that person doesn't yet understand the course. And they are not the Course in Miracles police. But the mind goes to that direction. I totally understand that. Because I used to be one of those spiritual seekers who would be listening to a spiritual teacher, and I would sit there with my arms crossed against my chest, my legs crossed, like in every way blocking the flow. And I would think, well, I know that. Or I would think, well, they're not so special. They're not so fabulous. And what was I doing but disturbing my own peace? One of the biggest challenges that people have in being a spiritual seeker is they know that the bottom line for them is to be loving and compassionate, to be patient and kind and generous. And yet, many times, spiritual seekers are judging everyone around them, just like everybody else. And so what happens then is it increases the mind split. Because they're saying, oh, I'd like to identify with the spirit, but I really want to be right, and I want to retain the right to judge the people in my life for being less spiritual than me, for being less loving than me, for being less awake and enlightened than me. I really want to retain the right to judge all those people for being less holy than me, for not understanding. And I see it particularly with Course in Miracles people, that they get angry and upset that other people aren't understanding the Course. Course in Miracles people sometimes get really angry that they can't explain the Course to other people. Or they get angry that their friend is upset because their dog just died. But if their friend just understood that it's an illusion, they wouldn't be angry and they wouldn't be hurt and they wouldn't be freaked out that their dog just died if they could only understand that it's an illusion. And that doesn't help anyone because there's no love and compassion in that. So what Gary taught so clearly in his class is because all minds are joined, the only work that we do is within. Seek first the kingdom, which is within, and all else will be added unto you. So I teach classes. Gary writes books and teaches classes. We are sharing. Really, that's all we're doing is sharing because we are compelled to share. Because within us there is this impulsion to simply let people know what our experience has been with the hope and the idea that by sharing it, we will come to understand. He and I will come to understand more clearly our own experience of divine love and divine peace. So So we share not to help anyone necessarily, not to, because if we look with the eyes of thinking that people need our help, right there we're disturbing our peace. What good is it to look on the world and think that people need help? Are we not judging the world if that's how we look? But isn't that how we've been raised to look at the world? Michael Beckwith, who's been a teacher of mine and an inspiration of mine for 17 years, I think it is now, he talks about the headlines in the newspaper being your prayer request list. One of the reasons why I have my Spiritual Espresso blog and the daily power prayer that I offer every day is because it supports all of us, myself, most of all, to begin every day with a prayer, to end every day with a prayer, to be in prayer all day long, to be prayer partners with others, to hold them in their heart, my heart and mind, and to know that it's not my responsibility to judge them. It is my responsibility. It is my ability to respond with love that I am cultivating. And prayer helps me to do that. So the invitation here is to really make a declaration, to make a decision. Course in Miracles talks about that all the time. You haven't yet made the decision. You haven't yet made the decision to be fully committed to love. Now, I want to just give a shout-out here. The last week of the class, week 8, I'm going to be teaching both classes by myself. So I'll be sharing in those two classes what I've learned about freedom from fear. And I have learned a lot. And it is my pleasure to share it. So I invite you to make an appointment now. Book your calendar that weekend to listen to the replays, because I would like to share this with everyone. It's been so valuable to me, and I know in the sharing of it, I will gain further insight, as I always do. So we're here to remember true peace for ourselves. We cannot do that if we're judging at the same time. This is the main message that I would like to share with you. Now, here's the catch. If you think that there is something ugly inside of you, how will you be able to share the peace of God with the whole world? How will you be a beneficial presence? Remember, all love is self-love. All forgiveness is self-forgiveness. Remember, too, so Gary talked beautifully about forgiveness last night, and he talked about the 3-step process. So in case you didn't catch it when he was talking, what the 3 steps are, and he talks about it being, he writes about it, page 256 in Disappearance. Stop yourself. Stop yourself. I remember seeing probably 10 years ago, Ian LaVanzant, who's a beautiful writer and teacher, sharing on Oprah, put your hand on your forehead and say, help yourself. So that's it. We must get into the rubber, where the rubber meets the road. The first stage is to stop ourselves. The second stage is to start to think with the Holy Spirit. That's what I call giving the Holy Spirit the heavy lifting, being profoundly interested in divine guidance rather than what I think. Remember, I shared in the class the week with David Hoffmeister that the biggest breakthrough in my life came when I literally started to get down on my knees and say, I am not interested in what I think anymore. I am only interested in the thoughts I think with God. That's all I'm interested in. You see, the thoughts that we think with God are our healing, and all it requires is our little willingness. Step 3, we have to be willing to train our mind to overlook the body. Yeah, so I'm going to go over these 3 steps and see how we can apply them. in the nitty-gritty, and I'll share with you what I have learned to do. So that stopping yourself, this is the most challenging part, and I know we all know that. So I'm preaching to the choir here. The hardest part, so it seems, is to stop ourselves. But remember, our little willingness is all that's required. That is the truth of it. So the most challenging thing for us is to develop our willingness. So this is why we must put our attention on it. Remember how Gary said he starts every day, he invokes the Holy Spirit and he puts the Holy Spirit in charge. That's what I do in the power prayer. Invoke the Holy Spirit, invoke divine grace, divine faith, divine wisdom, divine clarity. It's what I did at the beginning of the class. I don't need to be in charge. It's not about me. I'm not interested in what I think anymore. What I'm interested in is a profound understanding of divine truth. That is my healing. Why would I be interested in what I think? What I think with the ego has led to every point of suffering in my life. Why would I continue to be interested in that? There's one reason: the need to be right. We like being right. And we have to get into that habit of valuing the need to be right. So this is why we seek first the kingdom which is within, and all else is added unto us. We must be valuing the all else, and the all else includes enlightenment. So one of the things that Gary shared that was so important for us to understand: when you seek the kingdom first, all else that you could truly desire will be added unto you. Life gets so much easier when you're truly interested in living the peace of God, living the love of God. And if you still are interested in making anyone else wrong, then clearly you're not truly interested in the love of God and the peace of God. So it's a matter of just simply waking up to that. If you say that you're interested in love and peace and spiritual enlightenment and awakening, but you're still investing thought every day in judging who's more awake and who's less awake, who's more spiritual than you and who's less spiritual than you, who's more loving than you and less loving than you, in comparison, then you're not aware that you're one with them. You're not aware of that. So be willing to open your awareness to it. Don't chastise yourself. That's not the way anymore. That's an old paradigm of the spiritual seeker who is guilty and punishes themselves and berates themselves and self-flagellates and all of that. We're leaving that behind. The greatest gift that we can give to humanity is to release, resolve, dissolve the attachment to those habits of the mind. So this is why whenever we realize that we have moved into a point of suffering, we partner up with the Holy Spirit. That's the way I like to language it, because to me it's been so mind-shifting to realize I'm never alone. Oh my gosh, I'm never alone. One of the things I'd like to point you to in the Course, and if you've never read A Course in Miracles, don't even have a copy of it, you can look this up online. But in the teacher's manual, I believe it's page 9 of my teacher's manual. It's the section on trust. In the chapter, what are the characteristics of God's teachers? And in the manual for teachers, I love the manual for teachers. In fact, I'll just mention that I personally recommend to people who are starting A Course in Miracles new that you begin with Gary's book, Disappearance of the Universe, and then you begin with the teacher's manual. Not with the text or the workbook, but with the teacher's manual. Because I think the teacher's manual is more concise and more clear. It's really beautiful. And remember that if you understand any part of A Course in Miracles, truly understand it, it's a holographic teaching you will know all of it in your mind. And then you'll be able to discover it, unfold it, unwind it. So chapter 4, what are the characteristics of God's teachers? In the section on trust, particularly development of trust, I encourage you to read and reread and reread and reread that section. Because it really describes my life, Gary's life, and probably your life. And you will discover where you are in that development of trust. We're developing a trust in God. That is the pathway to peace of mind. What Gary has shared with us is in learning to stop himself and starting to think with the Holy Spirit, partnering up with the Holy Spirit, beginning to develop the awareness, I am not a body, and overlooking the body. By overlooking the body, to me, what I think of is if you can elevate your awareness, to see you are not a body, but you are facilitating a human experience as a spiritual being. And the body is part of your facilitation. Where are you doing the facilitation? In your mind, not with the body. In your mind, and how you think about the mind, the body. So in the section of trust, it talks about how you will either have everything that's not of value taken from you, or you will discover that it's not worth anything. You have to awaken to realize that which is of no value and that which is of value. So if you're still valuing the right to judge other people for not being as spiritual as you, it has value for you. If you value that right, if it's something you actively employ every day, judging people for how spiritual they are or they are not, you will never have true peace. And you know what? You know what you're doing then is you're modeling for the world, this is what an awakened person does. They judge. Because no matter what we're doing, no matter who we are, where we are, where we go, who we're with, we are always teaching the efficacy of our choices. So if you're wanting to share with people, run a Course in Miracles study group, be a spiritual teacher or a life coach or something like that, and you still reserve the right to judge yourself and others, you're teaching the efficacy of that, the value of that. And so people who are truly interested in love and compassion will see, that creates a split in the mind. They're trying to teach peace, but they don't have peace because they're not interested in peace. They're interested in judgment. So for me, I have made a commitment to myself to release all judgments. I've made a commitment to myself to truly be interested in peace. So whenever I feel a little bit of a disturbance, that's when I know it's time to stop myself. And so Gary and I use different language, which is great because people hear different things. So that's why it's so valuable for us to come together and to share, because you'll hear some things that Gary says and you'll hear some things that I say or David Hoffmeister or Colin Tipping according to your willingness to hear. That's why listening to the replays over and over again is really valuable to you, because the second, third, fourth times around, especially if you own the recordings, you have the transcript, you go back and you look later, you'll see that there's more and more to be gleaned. Because your mind is ready for it now, was ready for it before, because you had some things you hadn't given up yet. So I'm going to share with you how I stop myself, And I've shared about this to some degree before. I'm going to share some more. So I've talked about the divine alarm clock, that when you're feeling disturbed in your peace, that's when it's time to partner up. You've forgotten your partnership. You've become more interested in your own thoughts than the thoughts you think with God. It's time to go back to the beginning in your heart and your mind. Go back to the beginning of your willingness. So one of the things that I do, like Gary, every day is I turn my life over. And for me personally, I'm a minister, I'm a teacher, I'm a counselor. I'm a person who is actively interested in living a life of service. That is my profession, is to be of service. But even if it wasn't, I still could say I'd like to live a life of service. Because even if your employment is as a singer, or your employment is as an insurance person, you can still live a life of service wherever you are. So sometimes what I'll say is, I'm employed by God Incorporated. And I love it. The benefits are great. So we're employed by God Incorporated, and we're here to live a life of service, because every time we can release the need to have a thought of separation and place more value on seeking the kingdom within, then the more we have the experience of the awakening and the wholeness and the peace and the love and the joy of God being added unto us, we lighten up, and then we become the walking, talking model advertisement for what we would like to share. And everybody is always evaluating the efficacy of our choices. So the best thing that we can do is to deeply, deeply walk our talk. Invest more of our time and energy in walking our talk than gathering more information. We already have all the information we need. Now it's time for us to walk it. And so what I encourage you to do is to stop buying books and things like that, unless you're going to employ them to give you more ideas about how to walk your talk. It's much more valuable for you to gather avenues of support with like-minded people to walk your talk. That's the thing that I realized I became most interested in, and what I decided to do was create that container for myself. So that's why I'm offering Living A Course in Miracles, and all the classes and things that I offer are ways for people to come together with like-minded people to walk their talk, not to gather more information and spiritual understanding in the intellectual pursuit, but in connecting the heart and mind and becoming congruent in heart and mind, because that's where the rubber meets the road in our choice by choice by choice life. That's where the peace of God resides. So it's about realizing anytime our peace is disturbed, that's the opportunity to partner up, to invoke the Holy Spirit into our awareness. And you can do it in any way that makes sense for you. Holy Spirit, help me now. That's a good one. That's a good one. And for me, one of the things it says in the development of trust section that I was talking about in the teacher's manual is that when you get to a certain awareness and willingness, you will realize that there are mighty companions with you. And they're in the visible as well as the invisible. Course in Miracles refers sometimes to angels. Obviously, Gary has had amazing experiences with ascended masters. So did Helen Schuckman. That's how we have A Course in Miracles. Jesus is an ascended master. So the ascended masters and the angels are there all the time. Of course, talks about this, makes several references to this. They're always there to partner with us. We are never alone, never. Course in Miracles talks about that. But if we are interested in thinking our own thoughts separate from the mind of God and being separate and activating the thoughts of separation, That's what our experience will be. We will feel alone. We will feel separate because that's what we're choosing. So any time that we feel disturbed, the highest level of healing is to partner up, to realize that we're one with the One. That is the healing. Because the only problem that we ever perceive that we have is the thought of separation. We're not separate, but if we're choosing thoughts of judgment, blame and shame, resentment, if we're taking offense at what others are doing, if we're feeling embarrassed and humiliated, if we're feeling a lack of any kind, then we are actively choosing thoughts of separation. We will feel like we're on our own and we have to do it all by ourselves, and we will feel lost, especially if we're a dedicated and devoted spiritual seeker, because we're trying to open our minds to the truth at the same time that we're not willing to truly live it. So the split is really intense, and it further activates that sense of unconscious guilt that Gary was talking about. This is a major issue for spiritual seekers. I used to feel this. I know exactly what I'm talking about here from my personal experience. This is not what I'm sharing with you. Nothing I read in a book. This is what I have gotten from my experiences of frustration and anger and resentment and desperation and unworthiness and wrestling with it. And the insight and the wisdom that I have is not from a book. It's from partnering up with the Holy Spirit. Because I can read in the Course in Miracles that love is what I truly am, and love is what my brothers and sisters are. But if I'm judging them, that won't even make any sense to me. Not really. But it's through the active practice that the teaching came alive to me. And it's through living it that I not only lift myself, but I can bring benefit to others. We don't want to labor in vain anymore. We've done that enough. So partnering up with the Holy Spirit, help me now, Holy Spirit, whenever we notice a disturbance. Now, one of the things that I teach in my classes is I like to use the metaphor of placing the disturbing thought on the altar fire of God's love. So those of you who've become my prayer partners and you're listening to the Daily Power Prayer, which you can access at my website, jenniferhadley.com. There's a prayer page. You can listen to 16 or so prayers there. You can call the Daily Prayer Line. The phone number is there. And if you subscribe to my Spiritual Espresso daily blog, you will get a reminder to listen to the prayer and partner up with me, with all the many, many people who partner in that every day. So when there's a disturbance, partner up with the Holy Spirit. What I like to do is say, I'm placing this thought on the holy altar fire of divine love. The holy altar fire of divine love. So you can think of, many people are very visual, so it helps to have a visual image. For me personally, I have several altars in my home because I am always appreciating the visual reminder that my life is a life of service and that I am dedicated to being the love that I was created to be. That's my life purpose. I know it. I'm no longer fooled in thinking my life purpose has anything to do with anything other than being a loving presence in my own life and being open to sharing, receiving the love, giving from the overflow. So I love having the altar as a visual reminder of that. It helps me remember peace. So when I started with these practices, I wasn't a peaceful person, but I am now. I really am now. Trust me, I have walked this walk, and there were many, many times when placing the opinion or the judgment on the altar, I didn't want to do it. I wanted to retain the right to judge, to have a thought of separation. But then it came more and more that my commitment deepened. It didn't like snap for me, but I've had profound moments of expanded willingness. Part of how I got there was through constantly partnering up hundreds of times a day. So this is the thing that I'm going to remind you of. If you've got 10,000 judgments, opinions, etc., that you feel just mired in, like you can never break free of it, you just wonder, oh my God, underneath all this spiritual seeking is this just maze of crazy judgment and feeling unworthy and guilty and blame and shame and the need to make everybody wrong, then just know I am your sister. I am your sister because that is the place from which I started. I think 10,000 negative thoughts a day would be a conservative estimate from where I started. But I became devoted to every time I noticed that my peace was disturbed, that I would partner up. And I became so grateful every time that my peace was disturbed because I really was interested in remembering to partner up. I didn't want to forget. So I wanted to notice every bit of upset. So part of what I did to increase my peace was I stopped being interested in self-medication. I didn't want to numb myself to any place in my life where I was suffering because I became awakened and aware to every place in my life where I was suffering was by my choice. So this is another place where spiritual seekers are really challenged to take responsibility. So I'm going to invite you right now and just think in the last day or two, what has been upsetting to you? Just think about it for a moment right now while I have a sip of tea. You know right what it is, right? And what is the judgment? What is the opinion? If you've got your journal, write it down. What is it that you'd like to be right about that's disturbing your peace? Could be about you, could be about someone else, doesn't matter. Same thing, we're all one. So this is the thought that you value more than peace. So if you are making all kinds of phone calls, sending all kinds of emails, and driving all over town and looking for an extra job in order to feel peace, if you're trying to control and manipulate your loved ones in order to find peace, if you're looking for the right doctor, the right medication to find peace, but you're not willing to partner up and release your opinion, then, like I used to, you've lost your mind. You've lost your mind. And what your mind is still available to you. Your mind is the mind of God. You're one with the infinite. That's where your peace is. In the thoughts of separation, you will never find peace. Peace is not there. So if you can notice that you're trying to control, to manipulate, to manage, to self-medicate, if you're coping with the circumstances of your life, then you're not interested in the peace. So it's so valuable just to be awake to that one thought. I recently was having a conversation with someone who's a personal coach, and they were talking about teaching people coping strategies, coping with stress, coping with fear, coping with upset. And there's nothing wrong with that. However, I'm interested and having true peace and not in coping with the upset. I used to be very masterful at coping with the upset, denying it, pushing it down, until I realized, oh, I can partner with the Holy Spirit. I can partner with the Ascended Masters and the Archangels. I can partner with my own holiness, the I am that I am, the Beloved, and think the thoughts of God. I could do that, which takes a moment. Or I could run all over town trying to figure it out, manage, manipulate, self-medicate. Whew. See, and none of those coping strategies actually bring the peace of God. What they do is they occupy the mind. So you see, if we place value on that, then we are literally saying, I don't value peace. I'm more interested in being able to hold on to the judgments and opinions. And I've got to manage and cope and manipulate. That's my strategy for success. And what it's saying is, I'd like to have the success in the world. I would like people to perceive me as being happy and wealthy and healthy. I'd like to be able to perceive myself as that, rather than actually be healthy, wealthy, and peaceful. This is why I think that Gary Renard is such a beautiful model for us. David Hoffmeister is a beautiful model. Marcy, Colin Tipping. Because what's happening for them is they're more and more interested in thinking the thoughts they think with God, in knowing the truth, not their personal version of the truth. You know, people say all the time, my truth. Well, you don't have a personal version of the truth. There's the truth. You're not separate from God, so there is no my truth. There really isn't. And, you know, there's nothing wrong if people say my truth, but it's just an indicator that they're thinking thoughts of separation. You don't have to wake them up to it. You don't have, you know, it's about knowing, there is no personal truth. Knowing that for them, because all minds are joined, you can extend. This is your work to do, is to know the truth about your brothers and sisters. That's how you unfold the peace. So when you start to think the thoughts with the Holy Spirit, as Gary was telling us, then you're only interested in seeing your brothers and sisters as whole, perfect, and complete, because that's how they truly are. As you see them, you will see yourself. And this is the most challenging thing for spiritual seekers to do, is to be willing to give up the need to separate themselves from others and to compare. This has been the most challenging thing for me, because our minds have been trained to compare and to separate. So we're undoing that. But the great news is we can give the Holy Spirit the heavy lifting. We cultivate our willingness. So we must first and foremost be willing to see our attachment to the thoughts that upset. So the Buddhists have a beautiful teaching about this. It's interesting, you know, because Thich Nhat Hanh is one of my favorite teachers. He's a Buddhist teacher. And he teaches all about the illusion, as did Buddha. There's so much beautiful, congruent teaching with A Course in Miracles in the Buddhist teaching. So if you're interested in listening to a teacher who really, really knows, Thich Nhat Hanh is your guy. Thich Nhat Hanh, H-A-N-H. Vietnamese Buddhist teacher that was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by Martin Luther King Jr. Beautiful, beautiful teacher. I encourage you. He lives in France, and he comes to the United States frequently and tours and does teachings and retreats. His mindfulness work and mindfulness retreats, so helpful to us. who are, it's a beautiful way to practice the teachings of the Course, to become incredibly mindful. One of the things that Thich Nhat Hanh teaches so beautifully about is how in every aspect of any part of life, we can see the wholeness of life. He really teaches the holographic nature of the illusion. He teaches so clearly about the illusion. So if you're having trouble understanding A Course in Miracles, try Thich Nhat Hanh. And because he lives it fully and completely, 100%, he understands peace. I remember being on a retreat with him, oh, maybe 10 years ago. And somebody, oh, a child asked him a question, do you ever get upset or annoyed? And he smiled and said, very, very rarely, very, very rarely. And the reason is because he's not judging anyone. He's not interested in being separate from anyone. He's interested in knowing he's one with them. He's cultivating that all day. So when we're upset, we can place it on the holy altar fire of divine love. We can invoke the Holy Spirit. Having a physical altar in your home is a way of anchoring peace, because even if you don't notice that you see it, it will activate your mind to remember that you've chosen peace. So right now, I'm going to invite you to take a breath of gratitude. Put your hand on your heart. And just ask yourself, what is the symbol of peace for you? What is a symbol of peace for you? What represents peace for you? What is the symbol? Could be a flower. Could be the peace symbol. Could be the word peace. Could be a heart. What is the symbol of peace in your life? Make a note of it. And now what I invite you to do is to start collecting images of that symbol. So for me personally, I love the heart. It's one of my favorite images because it reminds me that my life is dedicated to being loving, to giving and receiving love. That's the thing I'm most interested in. Flowers remind me of peace and my commitment to peace, because flowers feel so peaceful to me. Flowers are not judgmental. So I love orchids, and I have orchids all over my house. And the orchid is so beautiful, but even when they appear to have flawed and discoloration and oddities, they're still beautiful. And what I know is that I can place two orchids near to each other, and one orchid is not saying to the other, oh my God, you're so much more beautiful than I am. Oh, I feel less beautiful than you. Or, look at me, I'm so much more spectacular than you are. You're not very beautiful at all. No, of course not. And what I also know about the orchids and the flowers is they're always demonstrating that they feel free to be themselves. That they feel, and they're also air plants, so they only need a very small amount of water. In fact, people who think that they're difficult to grow are giving them too much sun and too much water. They need very little. But if you love them every day and appreciate them every day and take joy in their magnificence and their beauty, they will last for months and months and months with very little. That's one of the gifts that they give. So they remind me of the pure peace of God and their dedication to peace. So collect these symbols and place them where you can see them. Might be a photograph of orchids. Maybe you don't feel comfortable trying to raise one. Doesn't matter. What matters is, how are you holding it in your mind? Are you interested in peace? So place these symbols around your home, your office, in your car, wherever you're spending significant time. And then what happens is, when you see these symbols, whether you acknowledge it or not, the unconscious mind will be reminded of your commitment, of your interest in peace, that you value peace. So remember, we're transforming our mind. We're training our mind to remember to choose love. And this is not easy. Paul Ferrini talked about that. It's not easy. So what I'm giving you is homework that's very simple, but it's not easy. So remember that thought that has been disturbing your peace for the last couple of days? What I invite you to do is, if you have an altar, or to create an altar, and you don't have to make it a huge project, though sometimes doing that is really, really fun, and you can make your altar in any way that you like. I always like to have Kuan Yin on my altar. She's the goddess of compassion, and I am dedicated to living a compassionate life and cultivating a compassionate heart. And my commitment to compassion is represented by Kuan Yin and her commitment to compassion. Because I have a Cherokee heritage and I have a Cherokee mentor, I like to recognize my indigenous origins and my connection to the earth through the practice of placing water and cornmeal and salt, dishes of each, plus a white candle, the offering of fire. So offering of fire and water and smoke with smudge, these things on my altar as part of my daily practice. Do these things change my life? No. What changes my life is how I hold it in my mind. So the making the daily offerings of the water, the salt, the cornmeal, the smoke, and the fire reminds me of my commitment. Just like the prayers that I make before I get out of bed in the morning, and recording the daily power prayer, and writing the blog. These are all part of my spiritual practice, which are how I demonstrate my commitment and my interest in love and compassion. Gossiping, judging, managing, coping, self-medicating, those are evidence of commitment as well. So we're shifting what we're committed to. And it's wonderful to have practices, activities, and things that we can really use to change our mind. So for instance, if you have photographs around the house that remind you of upset, do yourself a favor, box them up, put them away. Even temporarily, sometimes it's very useful to, in feng shui, you want to be careful where you place photographs from the past, because they can keep you in the past. And I have a gallery of family photos in my home that I see every day, but I have them in one section, and I recognize, this is the past. It's not in my feng shui career corner or my romance corner, you see, abundance corner. No, because that's the past. That's the past. So you see, there are so many different things that we can employ to help us shift our mind. Feng shui is wonderful. Is it necessary? Of course not. But we're retraining our mind to focus on love, compassion, forgiveness. So we must develop the habits that turn our mind to the peace of God. So if you can take this symbol, place one on your altar, place them around your home, your life, your desk, your office, your car, your wallet, your purse, your pocket. Remember, I bet you many of you have seen The Secret. Remember the gratitude rock? That's what that's all about. It's a symbol. It's not a magic formula. There is no magic. But there are miracles, and they are our birthright. Our life is supposed to be a miraculous life. What is a miracle? Gary was telling us, it's forgiveness. A miracle is when we align with the thoughts of God. So that's where our peace resides. Moving out of coping and managing and self-medication strategies and into a willingness to release the thoughts that disturb our peace. Very often when we have a thought that disturbs our peace, and you can think of this and how you've been in the last few days with whatever the thing is that's been disturbing your peace, do you not start to gather the evidence to make your case as though you were going to be presenting to a judge and a jury? Notice that you never start to gather evidence for what's true. You don't do that. You don't make a case for what's true. You don't make a case for the peace of God or the love of God. You don't make a case for being the light. You simply be it. You simply love. You simply enjoy the peace. You simply enjoy the joy. You don't spin and toil making a case and gathering thick files of evidence to prove that you're right. This is why when a spiritual teacher is working very hard to convince you, they may not know it themselves. And there's a reason why you're interested in them. Because you're like-minded. So we're gathering together now. It's the time of gathering together. And remembering the oneness together and helping each other rather than separating from each other. So rather, you know, people can take A Course in Miracles or any teaching and start pretending that there are sins, thinking that someone is doing it wrong or that they don't know. Everyone is in the perfect place to remember the peace of God. So in this day, that's what we're dedicating and devoting ourselves to. So let's place our hand on our heart here, right now in this moment. I'm going to share a blessing. And just as I'm preparing to do that and we're tuning within, if you've got your hand on your heart, make your commitment to really listen to these classes, to really living them rather than just talking about them or just listening. Make the notes. What can you do? Can you apply in your life? How can you change your mind? One of the things I encourage you to do with your hand on your heart now is make a decision that you're going to make an appointment to listen to these classes and decide how you can change your life. What is the practice that you would like to do? You willing to partner up more? You willing to recognize that when your peace feels disturbed, that's the time to say, ah, I surrender any thoughts of separation. I'm only interested in the thoughts I think with God. I'm partnering up with the Holy Spirit. I'm not interested in separation anymore. I'm only interested in remembering. I'm one with the One. Holy Spirit, help me now. Yes, this is our practice. The rubber meets the road in our hearts every minute of every day. It does not matter at all what happened 1 minute ago. Right now, we're choosing love. So we're grateful and thankful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self, with all of divinity. We're grateful and thankful to release the past and to remember our true identity as the perfect givers and receivers of love. We're grateful and thankful to remember that the peace of God shines in our heart, so we don't have to look outside. We're looking within. We're grateful and thankful to say yes to love as never before. And we are so grateful that every choice we make We share the benefits of it with everyone everywhere because we're one with them. In grace and gratitude, we joyfully, joyfully allow it to be, and so it is. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, everyone.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.